From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fan. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Blue Blue Show. This is the post game. The Blue Shirts fall to the New Jersey Devils by a score of 4-3. We did a lot of points from this game. We can go a lot of ways with this. The Rangers had their opportunities tonight, a lot of opportunities. And they played the game they wanted to play, a freestyle opening type of game, and they were not able to close the deal to overcome the early lead by the Devils because the Devils did a great job of retaliation goals tonight. There were so many opportunities with Zibanejad, Ryan Strome, Adam Fox creating opportunities. They just could not close the deal. I thought they were. It felt like they had a chance to close the deal, and they did not. But we're going to talk about this with Ranger fans tonight, and we're going to talk about it. And with a Rangers family, man. I mean, I think with RP, post-game versus the Devils, Blue Shirts fall 4-3. The Jack Hughes show was evident in the second period. I know Ranger fans probably going off on Twitter. I haven't even checked that yet. It probably was a war zone out there on Twitter tonight. But without a doubt, the Blue Shirts fall 4-3. I think they took a good advantage as far as coming back with bounce back goals, man. And I want to know the status of Zibanejad towards that end of the game, man. See what happened with him. Brandon Lemieux, giving him props, man, with taking the shots on net. I mean, the shots on from firing away, the blocks, man. He was a warrior out there tonight too. But without further ado, man, let's get the Ranger fans on, man, and get Ranger Proud on with us when he gets on. So we have this discussion. Max, what's going on from Rags to Riches Hockey, the IG show? How's everything, bro? How's everything? Say hello to the people.
Hey, what's up? Quite a game.
Max,
I got to say, I'm impressed in a couple ways.
All right. Hold that thought right there. We'll definitely lead off with you. Let's bring on Glenn. Glenn, welcome back. The Ring Podcast, Blue Shirts Fall to the Devils. How's everything, Glenn?
Thank God. Well, which was a little happier news to talk about, but I'm happy to be back with you, Steve.
Yeah, man. It was good to hear from you, man. Max, go ahead and fire away, man. Let's get your points first, and we'll get to Glenn. And when Ranger Proud gets on and anybody else gets on, we'll get their thoughts. Max, what was your thoughts on this game tonight, man?
So, Ryan Strome and Jack Johnson, get them off the team. Get them both off the team, and we will be such a better team. Kako looks stronger. Hedo looks stronger. Lafreniere hasn't really shined yet, but, like, I'm so sick of seeing Ryan Strome on the power play and centering the second line.
Okay. Hold that thought right there, too, Max. We're going to go right back to you and continue your thoughts. Of course, Ranger Proud, Twitter and Instagram, a writer for Forever Blue Shorts and Empire Sports Media, RP. How you doing, sir? How's everything? Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud. How's it doing, RP?
Hey, good. How's it going, Steve? Tough game tonight.
Yeah, tough game. Got Max with us from Rags to Riches Hockey. Got Glenn with us, back with us. Well, oh, yeah, Max, continue your thoughts on Jack Johnson and Strome, and then we'll go to Glenn and we'll get definitely RP's thoughts. Go ahead, Max.
Strome's just overhyped, man. We got to give the kids more of a shot. You need to see Hedo up on that second line. Look how great Hedo looked tonight. And you look at Ryan Strome on that first power play, and you're wasting a body out there. And I think part of the why they can tie it up at the end is because you got a guy like Ryan Strome on the first power play.
You know, one thing I saw, why did he pass up that? He had a clear shot at the net, and he passed it. I didn't understand that one. That is part of the frustration with Ryan Strome on there?
Like, he chokes. He chokes under pressure.
All right. Let's go to Glenn. Glenn, give us your quick thoughts, and then, of course, we'll have Ranger Proud fire away, of course. Glenn, what was your thoughts on this game, too? And then we'll go back to Mac as well.
Well, I mean, I thought it was a pretty well-contested game on both sides. I thought the Rangers played pretty well, you know, for the most part. Almost 50 shots on goal, although they really didn't make Blackwood make a lot of tough saves, I think. Power play looked good, except for the one where we clear the puck out for the Devils two or three times. But other than that, I thought the power play looked good. I certainly agree on that play with Strome. I don't know why he didn't take that shot. But I think you mentioned it earlier. I think Adam Fox really stood out tonight as a really strong player that we're going to look forward to seeing for a lot of years. And I also agree, Jack Johnson, I'm not sure what really to do out there. It'll be interesting to see if we see D'Angelo back in the lineup on Friday in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, now that's another thing. I'm glad you brought that up about the healthy stress with Tony D'Angelo. RP, give us your thoughts, and we'll go back to Max from Rags to Riches Hockey on this. But RP, your entire thoughts on what you saw tonight, man. Of course, Ranger Proud.
I think the game defined why they have to play three full periods of hockey. Everyone needs to be focused. I thought Gorgiev was really bad. The first two goals, both shots he should have been able to hold on to or control the rebound better. Both times they did it, and the Devils wound up scoring. He needs to not even make the first save. In those instances, if he holds on to the puck, controls the rebound, they probably don't get either of those goals. I think that was a big factor. I think the defense just looked like they were running around like they did last year a little bit. I guess Quinn thought the same too because he started changing the defensive pairings up. I think it was in the beginning of the third or the end of the second. I don't remember exactly. But it just shows that you can do a lot of good things, but you need to do it consistently. You can't – it wasn't that they played horrible. They didn't. But – you know, them scoring in that first minute of the play in a big game, and every game is big this year, guys. Every game's a rivalry. Every game means playoffs. It's weird to say after game three, but when you're only playing in your own division, you have to find ways to win these games. The one positive, guys, I took out of it was as bad as they played, I thought, early on, they found a way to hold on and stay in that game to make it close at the end of the game. But, you know, you guys, it's always the same topics. I think that D'Angelo comes back in and Jack Johnson's the one to get out. I think for sure they can't take Smith out of the lineup. I think he played great these last two games. He was really aggressive today, taking the body. He was smart with the puck. He didn't do anything fancy, but he doesn't need to. He played a good hockey game. I was really happy with his game. Fox is always playing a good hockey game. And I like Fox much better with Lindgren than with Trouba. But because of Johnson, you kind of got to break them up. So, you know, we were talking earlier and before the season started, Steve and I, how many games do you allow before you start going, now the games are important? Nobody had preseason. The Rangers have played three games. They get blown out in one. They blew out the other. And they had a one-goal loss tonight. Only one even strength goal, that's a killer too. Two power play goals, that's good. It was great to see Hedl score. Zibanejad score, Kreider score. So the big guys are getting the puck in the net. Panarin already has two. Butcher already has two. Lafreniere is going to come around. Let's be realistic. It's tough for a 19-year-old to play in the NHL. The game is just faster, but he's getting his playing time and his minutes. Now, I, for one, I'm not a Strome hater. I think he plays well with Panarin. I don't think Hedl and Quinn said the same thing earlier today. Is ready to move up because Hedl needs to improve on his faceoffs. And until he does, as bad as we all think Strome is or isn't playing, Hedl's not going to be taking those key faceoffs if Zibanejad can't. And I think once he can improve on it, you're going to see maybe Strome moving around. I've said this all along, competition brings out the best in all the players. Strome has no pressure on him. Who else is going to take the second-line center consistently on that team right now? Not going to be Howden, and it's right now not going to be Hedl. The Rangers needed, and they needed all this offseason, they needed another strong center, and they weren't able to acquire one, and this is what happens. So, not a horrible loss. We Rangers fans hate losing. Let's be realistic about it. Every loss is a horrible loss. But they need to play sharp from the opening faceoff, and we saw that a lot last season, too. You know, we can't keep saying David Quinn isn't preparing the team. These guys are pros. This is game three of the year in a pandemic when they haven't played in how many months? If you're not ready to play against the Devils at home on first responder night in the opening minute of the game, it's not the coach. These are grown men playing hockey for a living. Come on the ice ready to go. You know, granted, I thought that goal was more on Gorgiev than anybody else. It was a bad line change. Brendan Lemieux got back, but not all the way. Focus. They need to come out sharper, like they did in the Islander game. But that's two games now when they didn't look great in the beginning, and you lose both of them.
Yeah, RP, I watching this game, I'm about to eat dinner. I didn't even take two bites into my dinner, and the Rangers are already down 1-0. I'm like, here we go again. Like, we've seen that a recurring theme since Quinn's been there. I'm going to go back to Max from Rags to Riches Hockey on this, but we had this talk, RP, in the offseason with the arbitration with Ryan Strome when he was up for that. And we was like all Ranger fans were discussing as far as the needing a quality center, that other center to really seal the deal, that over-the-top center that really put this team to the next level. Not that, like you said, RP, I'm not necessarily a Ryan Strome hater or lover. It's more of being an objectiveness. And there was a lot of opportunities for him tonight. And now he played well. Don't get me wrong. He did play well. But I think what Max is saying, and it irks a lot of Ranger fans, that those opportunities, there's some of them you have to cash in, and he didn't, especially towards the end of the game. He had, the redirection from Truba's shot early in the third period. He had that, and then also the pass from Panarin as well. Max, I'm going to go back to you, but also I echo your thoughts on Adam Fox. Adam Fox, man, he has a good control of the point, whether they're in even strength or in the power play. I love this play tonight. And it felt like, RP, like you said, and like you said, Glenn, it felt like the Rangers were there. They had all the quality shots. They just did not go in. And just the Rangers just could not recover from the early goal on. But, Max, anything else from the game tonight that you would like to add on that you like or you dislike?
Listen,
and then we'll go back to Glenn.
First, I'll say that I have nothing to say about Adam Fox. As far as I'm concerned, he's Brian Leetch, too. We haven't had a prospect like him in fucking as long as I've been alive. And I love Adam Fox to death. But as far as what I'm saying about Strome is, like, we are at the point now as the New York Rangers that we are, if not contending, we're getting very close to our contention. And Ryan Strome is just not the second-line center we need. And we're going to see now because, I don't know what the hell's up with Zibanejad. He looks hurt and... Next game, who's going to play that first-line role? Is it going to be Howden? Probably, because that's how David Quinn does shit. But for the longest time, the Rangers have been afraid to shoot the fucking puck. That's been a problem since I was a little kid. They're just afraid to shoot the puck. They used to have a terrible power play before Panarin and Truba and all these new players. So when I see a player like Hedl, I see a player that's eager to score, quick, on his feet. He's big. Hedl is going to be one of the most underrated prospects forever just because they have Kako and they have Lafreniere and they have Miller. But, I think Hedl is poised to break out. And if you put him with Panarin and Lafreniere, I don't think it's going to matter how many faceoffs he wins. But, yeah, that's about it.
All right.
I think the Rangers were pretty good tonight, but sucks that they lost. I really thought they were going to come back.
Right, right. Now, Max, do you have a question for Glenn? Anything on the Rangers from the game tonight? If you want to throw a question at Glenn that you saw or RP, we'll get a dialogue going.
A question?
Yeah, if you do. If you don't, that's cool.
Next game.
I'll tell you, I
understand. I'm sorry, RP. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. You good?
Okay. I was mildly surprised that Georgiev started tonight. I understand coming off the shutout against the Islanders that you might want to keep him in there. But on the other hand, I thought Quinn might want to not allow Shesterkin to kind of stew over that first game. So I think we'll see Shesterkin in the next game. I thought we might see him in this game. Georgiev didn't have his strongest game tonight. A couple of goals he probably wants to have back. In the long term, I don't think goaltending is going to be the problem with this team. One of the things we've been talking about, which I'll bring up, is goes back to last year as well. And again, I agree. I don't think it's Quinn's fault, but this team gets off to too many slow starts. first 10, 15 minutes of the first period. You know, tonight, after about 15 minutes, they started to pick it up. But, you know, they showed in the second game how when they get out to a lead, they play a whole different game. And, you know, I think there have been too many. There was criticism with Henrik last year, too, giving up early first period goals. They did it in the opener. They did it again tonight. Somehow this team has got to find a way to jump on the other team and get them on their heels rather than being back on their heels. Because I think, you know, I mean, they wasted 15 minutes of the first period not really doing much after giving up that quick goal. And I think they got to find a way to not fall behind. They're a young team for the most part. I don't know if it affects their psyche a little bit where they kind of get off balance and need some time to kind of get their stuff together to play again. But I wish they would find a way to come out storming more often in the first period.
Let's go back to Ranger Proud, then we'll bring on Craig and then go back to Max. RP, anything you'd like to add on from the points of this game? I think there's some really valid points as far as the goaltender options. Who would you like to go in the next game after game number three?
Oh, I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to sound strange, but goaltending isn't really the team's top aspect right now. Jesperkin did not look good in the opening game. Gogiev did not look good today. I had no – in this marathon 56-game schedule, he's going to have to play the hot lineup and the hot goaltender or the winning goaltender. So I had no trouble that he started Gogiev today. It's hard to sit a goalie after a 5-0 shutout. Chesterkin's going to get his games in. But normally, in any season, if you get a shutout, you normally start him the next game just as a courtesy. In this instance, he's looking to get wins for whoever's in net. Chesterkin might be the number one goalie, but if Gogiev gets on a 4-5 winning streak, game winning streak, Chesterkin's going to be back up all those games. It's just how it's going to be right now. Points are in dire need. I mean, after three games, you look at what's going on with the Rangers, and they're already sitting on the bottom of the standings. And it's not that it should be a panic mode or anything like that, but he needs to go with the hot goalie. It's the same reason why he didn't play D'Angelo tonight, and he said it outright. The discipline part was over. He went with the same lineup because the lineup beat a really good Islander team the other night. So I had no problem with that. I have a problem with Jack Johnson, but that's for another day and another episode. I think now is how do you tweak your lineup for your next game? And that's going to be the question every game. Especially the Rangers are kind of the lucky teams. They don't come out of the gate playing 4-7 nights. So they get a little bit of a break here in between. They start out a little bit slower than some other teams before they really get thrown to the wolves. So Quinn's going to have to adjust every game. He's going to have to decide how much punishment that he likes to levy if a guy makes a mistake and when to sit a player and when not to. But he needs to find chemistry quickly. And believe it or not, this year, his chemistry probably seems to be leaning more towards the six guys on the blue line than the offense. You know, you can always move. Overall, these guys have not played bad offensively. They didn't score a lot tonight, but they had plenty of chances. The Devils had a ton of block shots. They were clocking up those lanes all night long, especially the first two periods. Everything was shot block. So I like the rotation of the lines. I thought they played well. Even the fourth line played really well. Brendan Lemieux had a solid hockey game on both sides of the ice. And that's what you want to see. But he keeps having a flip-flop as defenseman. Me, I would take Jack Johnson out now, put D'Angelo in, go with those six, and see what happens after two games if you get the flow that you're looking for. Otherwise, then you know, we don't want to start going to the taxi squad just because the team isn't playing well after four, five, six games. So the guys are going to have to perform at the end of the day if they're going to have any sort of run at this. And the schedule is just going to get harder.
Right, because we've got back-to-back games versus the Penguins, and I think the Sabres is after that. I'm not 100% sure. I know we have our matchups. You know, I don't take nobody lightly. You know, these teams are going to compete within the 56-game stretch, like you said, RP. You know what, RP, you know, before we go to Craig, I want to ask you this. the type of game this was tonight, I'd rather see the Rangers in this type of battle than a grind game versus like a team like the Islanders. I think our chances, when I'm looking at the perception of chances, what fits the Rangers' mold to really, you know, get back into games is a game like tonight. Like Glenn said, we had our chances, a lot of shots on goal. You know, this versus a game like game number one where, you know, the Islanders just really take you out of the game defensively. You know what I'm saying? I don't like the fact that we're not getting the 2 points, but if there ever was a silver lining, it's, you know, the fact that we played, you know, a team that's going to allow us to let our forwards do their thing, get deep, and shots on goal galore. They just, you know, there were some shots that just should have been capitalized, like what Max said early on, you know?
Oh, I agree. I mean, it's not, oh, they suck. It's so far from that. They're a young team. They're going to learn a lot. I mean, we're going to keep hearing that they're a young team, and it's the truth. It's not just an excuse. These guys are still learning the game, a lot of them. There's still a lot of 19-year-olds, 20-year-olds, 21-year-olds, and the growing pains are still going to be there. You know, the Rangers got a little spoiled because you made the playoffs last year. Regardless of the season getting shut down, the Rangers were the hottest team in the NHL with 12 games remaining. They were going to probably make the playoffs if the league didn't get shut down. But making the playoffs puts that additional pressure on all of them. Then you have, you know, your first season without Lundqvist. Durkin comes in, which is, you know, he's going to win the Calder Trophy. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. And then he sort of shits the bed the first game, which isn't the end of the world. I mean, it really isn't. If you're going to have some bad games, have them right now and get it out of the way. Don't have it in the month of April when the Rangers are playing 13 or 15 hockey games. But on the flip side of that, you're starting to see some of the things that we saw last year. You know, I forgot who just mentioned it. Somehow could it with names, sorry. But the slow starts. We've had plenty of those. Plenty of those times Steve has told me, damn, I'd even sit down and have a bite of my dinner and the Rangers are down one goal.
It's true.
It's the truth.
It's true.
The truth, and there's no reason for it. I mean, now there are no fans in the stands. There's no pressure when you come onto the ice. Go on the ice and play a hockey game. So, you know, we're putting an enormous amount of pressure on Adam Fox. Kid is lights out great. Is he ready to be carrying the team defensively? Should he be? No, but that's the position that he's in now. Same thing with Lindgren. You want to know something? Those two guys are going to be here forever. And you're going to want to watch a hockey game and watch how defensemen are supposed to play. Look at Lindgren's face after every game. Shiners, black and blues, cups. Guy does not back down from anybody or anyone and will do whatever he can to keep the puck out of his own end. It's incredible to watch, but they're going to have to slowly here start to find chemistry on both sides, the offense and the defense. The goaltending will come around. The guys are good. They're young. They're rookies. It's a whole new experience. You know, Chesterkin doesn't have Hank sitting on the bench if he's got a problem, if he has a question or the hook here. Something that might help him if he's off on an angle. These guys got to sort of figure it out on their own here for the very first time. It's a huge adjustment. So, you know, of course, come on when we see Ranger Twitter and we're going to read everything under the sun that the Rangers suck, Jack Johnson sucks, Gorgiev couldn't stop a beach ball. You know, people are a little too impatient for game three of the season. I'm just happy to play in freaking hockey right now. And I said this last week too, really quick. I think the team that got hurt the most from not having preseason games was a team like Ottawa, was a team like the Rangers. A lot of young guys. These first three games of the season, some of these guys haven't played since last March. Keandre Miller, Lafreniere. They haven't played since last March. Gorgiev hadn't played since the beginning of March. Mm-hmm. So, you know, practice, let's be realistic. Practice is great. 2 weeks of practice beating up on each other is nothing. It really isn't. It gets boring. It gets repetitions. You don't want to hurt your own teammate in an exhibition game. That means absolutely nothing. So these three games, I had said the first five games, I'd be a little bit like, all right, we'll feel it out. You know, don't be too critical on it. But the downside is the first three games are 1-2. You can't afford to go 1-4. You can't drop 8 out of 10 points to start the season off. It's really hard to come back. So I don't know where that little leeway is, but we're getting really close to that line that you don't want to cross.
Right, right. Hey, Craig, what's going on? How you doing, man? What's your thoughts on the game? And then we'll go back to Max. But, Craig, what's your thoughts on the game? And there's a lot of points. We talked about Strome. We talked about Adam Fox and Brendan Lemieux's heroic blocking efforts. What was your thoughts on the game and how you saw it tonight versus the Devils and just big picture through three games, man?
I tell you what, first of all, that guy you're talking to there is a genius, man. Get him my Facebook information because he knows what he's talking about, for the most part. Listen, you start at the front line, and we had 50 shots on goal tonight. So you can't ask for too much more than that, except there's maybe a little more accuracy. But we kept the puck in the devil's zone during power plays. You know, we weren't chasing the puck all day long. But like he said, the issue is, like, you know, I live in Iowa, so shoot, by the time I get home from work, they're already 4 or 5 minutes into the game. And like he said, I come home, I turn on the game, and all of a sudden we're down 1-0. So we got to stop that for sure, but we can't stop that. And this goalie changing thing, I don't know what the deal is with that, because right now we got to figure out who our goalie is going to be. But we're not going to figure out nothing if we keep changing these guys into the third period every game. Like, and in my opinion, I think we should have let Georgie just finish off the game, see what happened, see how he handled it, and go from there. And we keep doing this, you know, this carousel of goalies, and we're not going to figure out who's going to be the foundation of the goal. Defensive-wise, man, we got to get some speed. Like, remember that scene from the movie Miracle where Coach Brooks has guys get on the line because they're looking at the girls in Sweden and has them till they're throwing up, you know, conditioning. We need to get that defense some conditioning going, because even when we had 6 guys on and we had the empty net hit down to our zone, like, our guys are getting beat by Devils guys that are 10, 20 feet back behind them crossing the blue line. So We gotta work on the defense and get some speed going there, because, you know, we're taking 50 shots on goals, but when the other team is just fast breaking us all game long because our defense isn't getting back, that, you know, and I'm not gonna rip on Fox, because Fox, and that guy showed to be a stud tonight. I will back him up 100%. I think D'Angelo actually played in practice in full pads today, so. I see him coming back against the Pens. We're going to need his attitude a little bit out there, get his beef with the coaches out of the way, because we need him to win games, and we just need to get him out there, get his toughness out there, and get some speed on that defense, man.
Let me throw this question at you before we go back to Max. Let me ask you this, Lev. What was about your thoughts on the we talk about Adam Fox, but I see Ryan Lindgren, they ask him to do anything they ask him to do with that pairing with Fox. He's really, really on the forecheck, behind the net, just grinding. He's blocking shots. Like RP said, he's just out there with a black and blue face, just battered and bruised. Like, how you feel about the pairings tonight defensively? And you just talked about D'Angelo in practice. Maybe we may see him versus Pittsburgh. What's your thoughts as far as those guys? Even Trouba tonight, as far as, you know, I didn't like how Hughes blocked the shot. He took it the other way and just burnt them for that goal to make it 3-1. What's your thoughts on the defensive guys, the blue line, man?
Yeah, we gotta set up our offense. Like you said, like, those guys are in there and they're flying, they're blocking pucks. I think it was, was it Panera? No, it was Lemieux. Lemieux took that shot to the leg and couldn't even get up. He looked like a little kid trying to skate that kept falling down. And then he took another shot to the leg just to make sure he was doing his job. And those guys, the defense has grit. There's no doubt there. They're willing to sacrifice their bodies, and there's no doubt there. So again, it just goes back to the speed to be able to get back on defense when the puck's coming down the ice. But yeah, as far as their grit goes, that's what we need. And you know, these guys on these Rangers forums, they're saying, "Oh, these Rangers suck. Fire Quinn." Man, they are. I don't think they know what they're talking about, for one, because like you said, like Lindgren and Lemieux and Fox and even Trouba's back there, and they're sacrificing themselves for the team, and that's what we need on defense. We just got to work on their speed a little bit. I think we get their speed down a little bit, and I think with speed comes, once you play that defense, setting up your offense, a little bit of speed and accuracy helps with that. So we'll get that turned around. We'll get that turnaround.
Right.
I'm not worried about defense. I'm really not. Like you said, if they were sitting back there just letting pucks go by them, that'd be one thing. But they're not. They're team players.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they were very aggressive tonight, Jersey, out of the opening. The opening face-off, and also at the start of the period. I know the Rangers, I think it was in the second period, they kind of combated them with that, and then the Rangers showed a lot of urgency more in the third period. They really let it fly, let pucks fly all over the place. Max, I'm going to go back to you. Let me ask you this, man. And Lafreniere, as far as through the three games, what's your thoughts on his play? Keandre Miller, Panarin. The power play tonight was, going in tonight was 1-for-11, and he started to get it going. I talked to Ranger Proud over the years, man, and Zibanejad got the power play goal. He had the on the short side to Blackwood's right. I don't know as far as the setup. Like, are you comfortable with the power play setup right now, Max? Or what's your thoughts on Lafreniere and Keandre Miller? Anybody else that you want to mention? Kreider, whatever. It doesn't matter.
So I think the power play looks really good. I think you need to move Buchnevich up to power play one because they're just get some off there, get him up there. Pavel Buchnevich has looked like the best New York Rangers player in these three games, if you ask me. I think he's crazy. He's looking like Kucherov out there. And, coming into the season, like, a big thought was, like, who's going to get traded at the deadline? And there's so many wings on this team that you look at a guy like Pavel Buchnevich, but how do you trade him now? If I'm the New York Rangers, I'm signing him and I'm trading Kratzoff and trying to get someone else at the deadline, but yeah, Buchnevich has been the best player, if you ask me. I think Keandre Miller has looked good. He almost looks like a baby deer that in, like, 3 years he's going to be, like, a 10-point buck and just going to be jacked. I don't know. He looks good, but, he's young. He's getting his legs together. Panarin's Panarin. I got nothing to complain about there. But, yeah, that's about it. You think you would get rid of Buchnevich?
He's been fantastic. He was great on the game Saturday. He was really excellent through the neutral zone that really got him that second goal in the game. And then tonight, he actually had to fight off Jack Hughes that set up the Hedo goal, where Hedo, I don't think Jersey or the Devils saw him coming. Like, he was just trailing, which what Hedo needed to do. Mm-hmm. So I think there was an all great points, man. Yeah, I think Buchnevich, I think we're getting more than we asked for, because he's been one of the guys, like RP knows, that we had huge question marks. Is it going to be another, is it build or break for Buchnevich? And I think he's off to a very good start through three games.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right, great.
And he's only 25.
Mm-hmm.
It has taken him 4 years to get jump-started, but they got him right now playing where they want him to be playing, how they want him to be playing. So if he can keep this intensity and his pace and the consistency up, it just makes that line with Zibanejad and Kreider even more potent and more powerful. So let's just hope he can stay consistent. He had one good – he scored two goals, which is great. Let's see, over the next couple of games, can he keep fun on the basket and net, or is it going to be one of those up-and-down kind of deals, which he's been kind of known for a while. So I would think, if I had to guess, he'd probably be more positive and scoring more goals now. I think he's at that age where he's sort of found his comfort level and all. I think he's more comfortable with Quinn. I think he's more comfortable on the ice. And we know he loves his teammates and his line mates, so that's all positive. So, yeah, that's another thing that you just want to keep building on.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Max, anything else you'd like to add before we go back to Glenn?
Yeah. My last thing, and then I think I'm going to get off after this, is, like, I know the KZB line is so great. I know Panarin and Strome have a great chemistry together, but one thing I've been waiting for that I still haven't seen aside from, like, the beginning of last year is I want to see Zibanejad and Panarin on the same line together. I think that they're the two best players on the team, aside from maybe Adam Fox. And they need, like, I think it would just be smart. Try it a couple games of just having a standout first line and having Panarin, Zibanejad, and fuck it, throw Lafreniere or Buchnevich with them and see what they can amount to, and then, see how the rest of the lines pan out because other players can move up.
I think that day is coming. I think they're going to do that. Oh, I think Quinn's going to do that eventually. If it
to
really maximize. Yeah, absolutely. I think that there's going to be some games we're going to see that. I believe that. Yeah, but Max, man, thank you. Tell everybody else about your hockey show on Instagram, man. Rags to Riches Hockey. Before you get off.
Yeah, I got this podcast called Rags to Riches Hockey. Obviously, I'm a Ranger fan, but I try to cover as much of the whole, you know, league as I can. Rags to Riches Hockey on Instagram, streaming on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all that good stuff. So go check it out.
Shout out to Max, man. Thank you very much. Rags to Riches Hockey on IG, the gram. All right. Hey, Glenn, anything else you'd like to add? What's your thoughts on Lafreniere and, of course, Buchnevich? And let me say this because I don't want to miss this point, because I think as bad as Gorkiev did give up a couple of those bad goals, Glenn, I just thought some of those goals were set up where the Jersey forwards were screening a lot, and he picked up, like, positional wise, he picked up on the puck, but he just couldn't see it. But I don't think our forwards and defensemen on some of these shots that he was getting screened on, they were allowing Jersey to set. It was like three bodies. I mean, it's hard to see the puck when it's too late. I thought some of that was as well, but I think Quinn made the decision, like, out of for whatever. He says, hey, man, I'm going to push the circuit. And I know Craig mentioned the goalie rotation or the goalie swap, but I think there's a little bit of everything, because I think Georgiev picked up on some of these pucks, but position-wise, just didn't see it till late. But I think some of the screening kind of not, you know, helped his case as well. Glenn, what's your thoughts on that? And also, you know, Lafreniere, what's your thoughts through three games? I thought he may have got his first goal tonight, but it didn't happen. But I thought the kids played well. You know, what's your thoughts?
Well, yeah, I mean, I didn't mean to make it sound like I thought Georgiev wasn't good tonight. I agree with you on a couple of those goals. He was screened. I know the one that he thought, it looked like he turned his head. He was looking forward to the corner, and it wound up, you know, kind of right behind him and got tapped in. So, you know, I didn't think that he had a terrible game, or he was really the reason why we lost. I would have liked to see Quinn leave him in there for the third period, because he's a battler, you know, and hold Shesterkin off for Pittsburgh. But I would have liked to see him leave Georgiev in there for the third period and let him battle through it. I think he would have been fine. But I think we're in good shape in the long-term goaltending anyway. As far as Lafreniere, I haven't noticed much of him. You know, I don't think he's done a lot yet, but, you know, I mean, it's only his third game, and I'm not too worried about him either. I think that, you know, he'll come around once he gets used to speed and the size of the guys and everything. I mean, I think he's held his own, but I don't think he's been that noticeable yet. I do want to mention Buchnevich. I've been one of the guys that's been frustrated with him over the years, because he showed you signs that he could be really good, and then other times, you know, he seems to kind of shy away from the puck or not know what to do with it. But I think this year, even in the first game, I thought he's looked very comfortable on that first line. I thought it was going to be a matter of time before we saw Kako move up there into his spot, or Lafreniere switch over into his spot. But I'm not sure that's going to happen right now, because I think he's played well. He seems to, at 25, finally be getting it. And I think he's been fine with the responsibility of playing on the first line. And, you know, I think he may stay there for a while. We'll see what happens. I want to mention a couple other guys. I love that description of Keandre Miller, that looks like a young deer who's going to be a 10-foot buck in a couple of years. I thought he held his own, too. I thought he looked pretty good. He's got speed. He seems to know what to do with the puck. And I think he's only going to get better. So I think he probably stays in the lineup unless, you know, things get a little overwhelming for him, or Quinn wants to change things up a little, but I think he stays in the lineup. I think Brendan Smith has to stay in the lineup. I think he's, you know, other than that one year when things kind of fell apart and he spent most of the year in the AHL, he was great when we first got him. That's why we re-signed him. He was very valuable last year, being able to play the wing and then shoot back on defense to kill penalties and all. And I think he's been solid this year, too, the two games he's been in. He gives him a little grit. You know, he doesn't mind throwing his weight around. And I'd love to see him stay in the lineup, too, which obviously if DeAngelo comes in, that means Jack Johnson is sitting on the bench. And I think that's okay. I think the defense will be fine. I love the Lindgren-Fox pairing, but it seems like splitting them up the last two games, neither of them have skipped a beat. They seem to be able to play as well with others as they do with the, you know, with themselves when they're together. So it'll be interesting to see what Quinn does when DeAngelo comes back into the lineup and how he wants to, you know, arrange the three pairs. So I think that's going to be something to watch as well. Two other things I want to mention is in watching Jack Hughes tonight, and I know it's only his second year, and I know he's going to be fantastic, but watching Jack Hughes tonight makes me want so much more out of Kako. You know, I know it's a different circumstance. You know, Quinn's on the first line, Kako's on the third line, move around, all. But I'm kind of waiting for that Kako breakout, too, and I hope we see it at some point this year. And then one last thing I want to throw out, see what you guys think about it. And I don't know how much we want to get into rumors and things like this, but, you know, we're talking about Strome, we're talking about Hedl, what we want to do at center, especially if, God forbid, Zibanejad is out for any amount of time with whatever happened to him. There's still the Pierre-Luc Dubois rumors going on in Columbus. And boy, I think he would be great. You know, I mean, he could score. He's a playmaker. He's a tough guy. He's got speed. I would love to see them at least make an attempt to get him. So those are really my comments. I'll leave with you guys to tell me what you think about all those.
Yeah, sure. Let's go to RP and then go to Craig about that. I'm glad you brought that up, Glenn, because I was going to make a point about that. Because Kako was missing some minutes, I'd say, between the middle of the second period and the third period. Then you started to see him back on the ice. Because when Jack Hughes was starting to have his way in the second period, and that was the first thing that came to my mind. Like, where the hell is Kako? I didn't see him on the ice. I don't know what happened as far as, like, you know, whether Quinn wanted him in there or not or what. But I did notice that. RP, what's your thought? Go ahead. Who's that?
Well, I'm just going to say, Quinn last year, saw him play, I kind of wondered if maybe the Devils made the right choice. Like, boy, he doesn't seem to have a big presence or anything like that. But, boy, the difference in him tonight from last year, he's so much more confident. He's so much more assertive. He just seems faster and more in control. And it just kind of made me think, geez, where's our guy? You know?
Yeah. I agree, because I noted that, because I didn't see Kako in a lot of the shifts in the second period. I saw him a little later in the third, but then he made up for time. He was looked very good tonight. If you could make an argument, he won them the game, especially taking over after those retaliation goals by the Rangers. What's your thoughts as far as that with Kako, and then even just your analysis through the first three games? If you want to add on any points, we'll go back to Craig and then get some final thoughts from everybody. Page and Ranger proud.
Did we lose him?
Yeah, no, I am. No, I'm sorry about that, guys. The thing with Kako is he tends to not drive to the net. He tends to stay on the outside more times than not. He has the speed and the skill. It just seems, even when he's on the power play, for whatever reason, he hasn't taken that next step up. And I don't think him playing on the third line is the answer either. But I think it got harder now for him to get more ice time playing the way he's playing with Lafreniere on the ice. Because you can see, if you watch both of them skate, and I know it's only been three games, Lafreniere just has a lot more confidence when the puck's on a stick. Lafreniere is not nervous or scared to make a mistake. If he loses the puck, guy busts his ass, throws all three zones to get back. And, I mean, it's things that, you know, Kreider and Panarin and Zibanejad have said about him in training camp. And I'm not saying that Kako can do that, but I just think the adjustment coming over from Finland and all, or Sweden, it was dramatic. He just, even though he looks bigger and stronger and faster this year, when you watch him in a game, he seems to get lost in the play. He needs to be a hell of a lot more aggressive if he wants to get on that second line. I mean, you would think, you know, Panarin, I mean, there are so many different combinations that you could put. They even had Lafreniere, Hedl, and Kako at one point playing. I was like, damn, look at that. I mean, look at that. Three first-line kids playing in the NHL. I mean, it's awesome. It's what fans want to see. But Kako's just having a little bit of trouble pulling his weight. Now, look, it took time for Hedl to get to this improved level, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes playing in the AHL helped. You know, when Hedl came up, he had to go down to the AHL. They wanted to send him back home, and he pleaded with the Rangers to stay in North America because the style of hockey was so different. You look at Jack Hughes, came from the U.S. development team. He's 18 years old. Yeah, last year he had a tough year. His brother went through the same exact thing in Vancouver. First year, not so great. Last year, lights out. So those kids, that family knows how to play hockey. And if you show the patience, which, you know, Ranger fans don't tend to have, and the Rangers organization as a whole sometimes seems to push through a little too fast, things will work out. But, you know, I thought the same thing. Jack Hughes was incredible tonight. He was just there. You know, if he's not scoring, he's contributing. He's fighting. He's feisty in front of the net. You're going to see that at a Lafreniere. I mean, look, they already put him on the right wing, which isn't his natural wing, and he just stepped right in there and said, okay, give me more ice time.
Yeah.
I'm going to play wherever you put me. More ice time, I'll play wherever you want me to play. That's the attitude that you want. It's a different style of player than Lukaku. He's much more laid back. He's much more himself. He doesn't seem to be overwhelmingly or show excitement on the ice. And he needs just to relax and play the hockey that he can play. Because these rare times when you see Taco drive to the net, you're like, damn, this guy can score 40. He can score 30. He knows how to win. But then he won't do it for five games. And then what happens? He's not doing anything. He's lost in the play. Well, we're going to put him to the third line because I'm playing my best six guys in, you know, the last 7 minutes of a game down a goal. And Conco's never in that category. And he needs to be. He needs to be. So, you know, and then the other thing really quick, guys, you guys have mentioned already. K'Andre Miller's playing phenomenal. He's going to hit that valley. Every pro does when you're off a little bit. He's playing on a high right now with a lot of confidence. A lot of confidence. The same confidence Kako is lacking, which is great to see because defense, to me, is the hardest position next to goaltender when you come from college or the pro into the pros. The speed is different. They're right on top of you. The hitting, you know, one stupid little pass and the puck's in the back of your net. So let's just hope they don't over-push him because a guy like Jack Johnson are playing and you're struggling a little bit to find the chemistry between the guys. I would have liked to see K'Andre Miller and Smith play more because you kind of ease them into it a little bit. I think that would work. Or Miller with same thing with D'Angelo. You see the difference between Smith and D'Angelo. D'Angelo's known to make those stupid little passes, take a chance when he shouldn't, and that might hang out K'Andre Miller. Smith isn't going to do that. So,
right, exactly.
You know, we need to keep Lindgren and Fox as a pair. So you need to build around that, in my opinion, because them two are probably the two best shutdown defensemen on the Rangers, without a doubt. So to keep them together, you have to manipulate Truba, Smith, when D'Angelo returns. He has to find that's the chemistry that I was talking about earlier. It's more important right now because, obviously, he put Lindgren and Fox back. I think it was in the second or third period, like I said before, because he just wasn't happy with how it was going with all the other line combinations. It also didn't help, guys, that when Jack Johnson gets a shot, he misses the net high and wide every freaking time. I mean, what's the purpose of getting a shot? I mean, the forward wasn't even worried about blocking the shot. He wasn't going to hit the net anyway, and he didn't. So we're always going to be anti-Jack Johnson, which probably isn't fair to him. It's just how it is, but he doesn't help himself when he does stuff like that.
Right on, right on. Hey, Craig, anything else? Oh, go ahead. Who was that, Glenn?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think the problem is trying to find someone to play with Trouba. You know, I mean, I agree, you know, Brendan Smith is a good person to play with Keandre Miller because he's so steady. He's probably a good person to play with D'Angelo for the same reason that RP was saying, that D'Angelo will take those chances and Smith can, you know, cover for him. But then who plays with Trouba? And I think that's the problem that they had going into training camp that still really hasn't been resolved yet. And I think that's why he split Lindgren and Fox up to try and find somebody that he can play on a consistent basis with Trouba. And when he puts them back together, which I love that pairing of Fox and Lindgren, but then who plays with Trouba? I think that's something they have to figure out.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I think it might get easier to bring D'Angelo in because then you can kind of rotate your what I guess everyone would think is the top six defenseman on the team and maybe get a feel out of it. I mean, Miller played fine with Trouba. Don't get me wrong. I mean, that's how Miller made the club. That one game he played with Trouba, they were just, like, thrilled with. And let's be realistic. Quinn tends to pull the plug on combinations a little too fast at times. So you don't know if he didn't give them enough time together or something else was going on or we saw something better. But I just think the X factor right now is just it's not who you're going to play with Trouba as much as who you're going to play with Jack Johnson. That's
well, hopefully somebody's playing with Jack Johnson.
You know, because someone said yesterday, and it was true, in the Islander game in the second game, that Adam Fox made Jack Johnson look like a friggin' all-star because Fox plays so well. He can catch up. He can be there when Johnson makes a mistake. It takes all the pressure off Johnson when you're playing next to Fox.
Yep.
And then you put Johnson back with Smith or something, and it just looked different. And it's nothing against Smith. It was just a different variance. It was a different way of playing the game. So.
Yeah, and you can't play Keandre with Trouba because you can't ask him to play those minutes. You know, even though you can say, well, it's a good pairing, but you can't thrust the kid in there to play the type of minutes that you're going to have Trouba playing. So that's where that, you know, becomes an issue. So, I don't know what he's going to do, but I guess we'll see.
Hey, Craig, let's get your thoughts on that as far as the defensive pairings and what you would like to see. And any additional thoughts going forward with the 1-2 start? Anything else from this game, players you like, the points that has been said? Then we'll go around and get some final thoughts after that.
These guys are, they know what they're talking about. I agree with everything they're pretty much saying. And I like the Fox-Lindgren combination. I coached soccer for so many years, and I just go back to, like, the consistency, and that's got to build. And I think one thing we also have to remember that I keep telling a lot of my friends that are Rangers fans is, a lot of our international players, like, they are used to playing in the off season over in the international leagues and over in their home countries, and none of them got that this year, so it's a different start to the season. I agree with Max when he said, we can't get into this 1-4, 1-5 start and miss out on like 6 or 8 points. So we definitely got to do that. Got to get our defense just kind of consistent, and I think we'll be okay. I think we'll be all right. I'm not over here in the Midwest and all these stupid Blackhawk fans around me, they miss Quinn like crazy. So he's not a bad coach, but these Ranger fans that want to be like all fire him. Well, they're not real smart, but I think we'll be all right. I think we'll get the defense figured out and we'll get the goal situation figured out. And I think we're good on the front line. The only thing that really caught my eye was when we had the puck in the Devils' zone a lot. Strom had a couple chances that he should have shot the puck, and instead he tried passing it. And so I don't know if he's just missing some confidence or something, but I'd like to see him take some more shots on goals because he had a couple times where Blackwood over was just not even near him, and he could have just thrown the puck right in the back of the net, and instead he tried passing it to somebody else. So other than that, I think we'll be all right. I think Lafreniere will come on. Three games in the National, and I think he's going to be just fine. So I'm as excited for him when we when we drafted him as I am today. So I think we'll be good.
Cool, man. Hey, Craig, we'll double down on you with this. You got any final thoughts moving on for the next several games versus the Penguins? And I think we got the Sabres, if I'm not mistaken. I have to double check the schedule.
Yeah,
any final thoughts from you, Craig?
Well, Crosby scored the overtime goal tonight in overtime against Washington and overrated. I mean, Ovechkin. And so I think D'Angelo comes back. So that'll be interesting to see how that goes. See how we handle the Penguins. They're always gritty against us. I think our toughness will be proven these next couple games against the Penguins. So I'm excited to see how that goes because I think we're going to be forced to be a little scrappier than usual. So I'm excited for them. I said we at least take one from the Penguins.
All right, cool, man. Shout outs to Craig, man. Thank you very much. The Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud. And thank you for your thoughts, man. We got the post game next Tuesday versus Buffalo. All right. I knew it was Buffalo. I couldn't remember how the arrangement of the games go. I know we were playing both those teams multiple times, but shout outs to Craig. Hey, Glenn, man, can we get your final thoughts from this game? A 1-2 start. You know, we had our opportunities, like you said. We had a lot of shots on goals, just couldn't convert the one to tie the game up. We were clawing back, and they kept on getting a little lead, and we clawed back. But I'm not pessimistic. But what are your final thoughts, Glenn? And of course, we get final thoughts from Ranger Proud.
Yeah, no, I'm not dispirited about tonight's loss. I mean, it was a game that could have gone either way. I know it's only three games, but I've never been the type of guy who says, "Oh, it's early, you know, don't worry about it." But I mean, how many times does making the playoffs or not making the playoffs come down to 2 points or 3 points that you're chasing for the whole last month of the season, that if you had gotten them in the first 10 games, you wouldn't be chasing them? So although I don't think it's a point where we need to panic just yet, I think these points are important, and especially these couple of games against Pittsburgh, because they're one of the teams we're going to be challenged to get by to make the playoffs. They had a big comeback win last night or tonight against Washington. And then I think we got to take care of business against Buffalo. So I don't think it's too early. We need to get these points as soon as we can and have some in our back pocket rather than chasing them like, for instance, we were last year. That's kind of what I'm thinking. Not too early to panic, but not too early to worry about it either, you know.
Shout-outs to Glenn, Glenn NYR on Twitter. Now, Glenn, I'm going to go to Ranger Proud on his final thoughts, but I don't want to lose thought on what you said about Luke Boboy, man. That there may be something with that, because I argue – now, we could say this, and I don't think the Rangers could say this in some years now. I think our top six could probably compete with anybody in the division, let alone maybe the league. But if you add that quality of center like you're talking about, then it's even a – whole other ball game. What's your thought? You want to add any thoughts on that? Because you saw, like what Craig said, as far as Stroman, we said that at the top of the show, Strome had that chance late in the game, and you got to convert that. Now, he had chances early in the game, and sometimes you got to peck away, but that last one, and I think Sam Rosen was like, what the hell, shoot? I mean, he basically said that without saying that on the broadcast.
Yeah, I think Strome is a pass-first, shoot-second kind of guy. He's got that kind of mentality that he's more of a playmaker. So that doesn't surprise me. He's done that before. I mean, I like him. Look, he had a great year last year for him, best year of his career. He had great chemistry with Panarin. So I'm not someone who's necessarily looking to get rid of him. But, boy, I'll tell you, if we plug Dubois into that spot on the second line, funny thing, I had him on my fantasy team last year, so I watched a lot of Columbus games. Boy, he is an impactful player. He's tough. He can score. He's got speed. He's a really good player, and boy, would that make a difference? That's the kind of guy we need. You know, somebody who's got a little grit, who's also got talent. I would love to see them try to figure out a way. I mean, I don't know if, you know, JD having been in Columbus,
can kind of work out a deal with them. We've got plenty of young kids that, you know, I mean, you want to see them make the team, but they're also chips to use, too, for the parts that you need. So I don't know if something like Strom, Kraftsoff, Lindquist, D'Angelo, you know, some combination, I'd love to see them find a way to get him. He's only 25. He'll be around for a long time. And I think he's just the kind of guy that this team needs.
Shout-outs to Glenn. Glenn NYR on Twitter, man. Thank you very much. And, of course, Ranger Proud, RP, your final thoughts. Any articles on Forever Blue Shirts, Empire Sports Media, your final thoughts on that, or anything that's coming down the pike, your thoughts on this dialogue here on the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud, post-game losing to the Devils.
No, the dialogue's been great. It's always fun to talk with guys and get different views and opinions and ideas. It's always a blast, so I appreciate it. I enjoy it every week. Right now, I don't have much on the pipe. Work, the real job's been kicking my ass a little bit, but I'm going to get a piece out with Forever Blue Shirts on, probably on Howden in the next couple of days, and I'm looking to do another feature on Fox. So we'll see how those things shake out. The only problem I got with this talking about trading for Duvall from Columbus is he's not a center, he's a winger, and when we trade Strom, it'll make our situation at center that much worse. We'll be scoring more goals. We won't be winning any faceoffs. Yeah. But you can't turn away the skill either. I mean, he's 22 years old, and he's already played 237 hockey games. He's got 159 points. He's a huge asset. It's just a matter of what you want to give up. You got to remember with Strom, he's got that big contract this year and next year. I don't know if Columbus would want to pick all that up. I'm going to be honest with you guys, the way Kraftsoff is playing now in the KHL, I wouldn't give up on him yet.
Okay.
Of course, you know, if it came down to a deal breaker, you know, then I guess JD and Gorton would have to really sit down and decide what's the best for them. I would love to see him in a Rangers sweater. I just don't know if they're going to be able to pull it off. I don't know if other teams have, you know, they may want too much. You need to wait till it gets closer to the trade deadline, the other thing. Right now, Columbus isn't desperate. But what's going to happen as it gets closer and closer, I think the trade deadline this year is April, the beginning of April or the end of March, I forget the date. You know, then they're going to get to a dire situation with the kid. So, you know, that's just going to have to see how that plays out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with the Rangers now, let's just go into these next games and just try to get points, whether they're ties, overtime losses, whatever it is. They can't keep leaving points on the table because, like you guys said, if you miss the playoffs by 4 points, you're going to come back and look at this game against the Devils or the blowout opening day when they weren't prepared at all and go, well, that happened right there. So there were no easy games ahead. There were no days off. And we're just going to have to just be patient and see what happens.
Shout-outs to RP, Ranger Proud on Twitter, Ranger Proud, the Facebook fan page, writer for Empire Sports Media, and Forever Blue Shirts as well. My final thoughts for the guys, man, is I want to say thank you all for this postgame and this dialogue. I am not worried in the sense. Matter of fact, I love the play tonight. It's just that, like we said earlier, we got to start. You know, if anybody knows, that's another thing. If anybody knows that we get off to slow starts, it would be Lindy Ruff. I mean, the guys on the opposite bench and the Devils have a hell of a you know, the breakaway game is probably what tops in the league last year. So they wanted to exploit that, and they did. And, you know, we don't – like Craig said, we don't want to get home late knowing that it's almost like watching a Mike Tyson fight. We're already down in the game. Like, come on, we got to do better than that. And no Ranger fan should be in that position. We got to get off to faster starts. Now – I'm a proponent, and I hate to say it. If I had to choose, now, of course, RP, Craig, and Glenn, I would love to play a complete 60-minute of hockey. Sometimes you're not going to get that. But if I had to pick and choose a silver lining, I'd rather play as the game gets stronger, but just shore up the early part of the game, win your faceoffs, man. RP, we talked about this last week as far as, you know, Hedo was better. I think he was better tonight with the faceoffs.
He was much better tonight.
From the ice side, I don't remember. He was better, right? He had to be.
He was at 50% tonight.
Okay, okay. Yeah, yeah, he was definitely better than 1-for-6. So, you know, got better, you know, a week later. So, I'm not, you know, I think we're playing the game. We just have to execute. Maybe next episode when we talk about it, especially when we see the power play, because it was off to a dreadful start. There's something about the Zibanejad and Panarin that on the left side of the power play, they could do a little bit more with that. And we saw some success with that with the Zibanejad power play goal, because you can't double both. You have to pick your poison if you're the PK on the opposite team. It worked tonight, and then you got guys could clean up goals like Kreider. So there's something they could, if they go to that, and you have the stability at the point with Fox. We already harped on those points, but you know, this episode, of course, with Rags the Riches Hockey, that'll be Max, Glenn, and of course Craig, Ranger Proud, myself, Steve, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, of course, episode on bleedblueshow.com/podcast. We'll be back next Tuesday for another post game versus the Sabres, man. Sangre azul, ladies and gentlemen, blue shirts, LGR, bleed blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Blee blue, 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 blee blue.